The sun will come out, I hope.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gall. Yes, in fact, the sun is rising. But it feels like the world economy has officially entered a very dark period. Oil set another record today above $145 a barrel. The world stock market sank to their lowest level collectively since January. European shares hit a three-year low. The Dow, the Nikkei, and a key European index are all officially in a bear market. The Dow fell another 166 points yesterday to 11,215. The S&P 500 lost 23 points, almost 2%. The Nasdaq slid more than 2%, 53 points. In Japan today, the Nikkei extended its losing streak to 11 days with a fractional loss. Stocks in Hong Kong fell more than 2%. Shares in Europe are down about 0.5% so far. It just doesn't seem to end. Stephen Beard, our European correspondent, joins us now. Stephen, anything new to say out of Europe?
Well, it just goes on and on. It is really a sort of avalanche of bad news. Wherever we turn, there's more of the stuff. Corporate earnings are down. Economic growth is down. Credit crunch is far from over. News of more gaping holes in the balance sheets of the big banks. And of course, the central factor bearing down on share markets around the world, oil. And this morning in London, crude hit $145 a barrel.
Yeah, and people are talking about 150 over the July 4th weekend.
That's right.
Is this latest jump directly related to the European Central Bank raising its interest rate and therefore probably weakening the dollar?
Yes, that indeed it seems to be the major factor. The expectation is the ECB will push up interest rates. That'll make the euro more attractive compared with the dollar. And oil, as we know, is a sort of anti-dollar investment for hedge funds and other speculators. That's going to make oil more expensive, hence the price of oil goes up.
Well, Stephen, what other effect does a weak dollar have overseas?
It obviously makes it a lot more difficult for European companies to export their products to the US because they're exporting in euros. However, one point that's very often missed is that as the price of oil goes up in dollars, that makes oil more expensive for Americans, but not necessarily more expensive for Europeans. Mm-hmm. They, after all, are buying that oil with stronger euros.
That's right. All right, Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Here's how bad things have gotten for US car makers. GM sales fell 18% in June compared to last year, and that was considered good news. Chrysler's drop was twice that. So what does Chrysler do? They are extending that gas price incentive. Now, if you buy a Chrysler, you get gas for $3 a gallon for 3 years. Reporter Rico Galliano considers Chrysler's logic.
Or, rather, the lack thereof. Because with gas prices rising, isn't Chrysler's offer kind of stupid? Jesse Toprak of car website Edmunds.com says it may be for car buyers.
In a lot of the cases, consumers are better off taking a traditional large cash rebate than the gas card.
Here's the math. At current prices, Toprak says Chrysler's deal can save you as much as $3,000 over 3 years. But on some vehicles, consumers can opt instead for thousands more in rebates. Even a big jump in gas prices might not make up the difference. Still, critics wonder why Chrysler is selling the promise of cheaper gas instead of building more fuel-efficient cars.
As an automaker, what are you going to do for a car that is already sitting on dealer's lot? You can't change your product. You have to figure out a way to get rid of it.
Honda, meanwhile, has less trouble getting rid of their product. They were the only major automaker to post a sales increase last month. They've got the most fuel-efficient car lineup on the market. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrive and Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit Fortune 500 company helping members thrive in retirement. You can learn more at thriveand.com/retirement. By the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Teach for America to bring math and science teachers to under-resourced public schools. More information at teachforamerica.org. and by Clarks and Potters, The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now.
I was able to dig up a little piece of good news this morning. The Labor Department reports June employment numbers. I'm not sure those are going to be great, but the good news is for those who have jobs, especially those fresh out of college. Jeremy Hobson has more.
A survey from the National Association of Colleges and Employers found starting salaries among recent college grads jumped 7% on average over last year. The increases were across the board, with computer science degrees yielding the best one, 13%. Here's the association's Andrea Kuntz.
The only area where salaries actually remained level were the education degrees. There weren't actually any that decreased at all.
Daniel Hammermesh, a labor economist at the University of Texas, Austin, says that's because the biggest losers in recessions are those who don't have college degrees.
The question is, how many jobs are there out there? And I think we are not in as good a shape as we were the last couple of years, despite the fact that those who are getting jobs are doing pretty well.
And Hammermesh says if the downturn lasts, even those who are seeing salary increases this year will feel the pinch before long. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
In the music business, Coldplay now holds the record for the most downloads in history. Viva La Vida has sold 354,000 digital downloads in the last 2 weeks. The previous record holder was John Mayer's Continuum. That sold 353,000. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.